podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to the inaugural episode of The Payload. I'm John. I push the buttons every week on different shows, but this week I'm pushing the buttons on this show. So, super excited to have you here. We're so excited. We're going to be talking about the game that everybody is so pumped about coming out really soon for closed beta with Overwatch. But first, I'm not here alone. I've also got a pair of knuckleheads with me. First, all the way from Saskatoon, California. Just kidding. It's just regular California. It is Mr. Jimmy Bloxham. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. That intro, it gets me every single time. It is so good.
Isn't it so insane?
Excellent, excellent work.
So before we go any further, we need to do a big thank you to Jake Butneau over at jakebutneau.ca. He made all that original, crisp, brilliant, incredible. So huge thank you. If you like his stuff, go check out his stuff. Share it with your friends because he's awesome. Now, last but not least, all the way from Saskatoon, Canada, you may know him as another piece of the puzzle over on Well Met. It is Kevin Hovdestad. Hey, Kevin.
How's it going, John? I am so excited right now to do this show. This game has been all anybody wanted to talk about since BlizzCon last year. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting 12 calendar months. We're going to have it in our grubby little hands in 5 days, and I could not be more interested in getting into the meat and potatoes of this game with everybody else who's just dying to play it.
Absolutely. This is going to be awesome. We're really excited to get started going on the show with all of you listening, all of you in the chat room. We do record live Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time over at twitch.tv/BlizzBro. So if you want to join the show, join in the action. We've got quite a few people hanging out already. The game's not even out yet. So that's so awesome to have. Otherwise, we're going to be on iTunes, Stitcher. I'm waiting on a reply, but it'll be there soon. But we're already up on iTunes. And so, yeah. Thank you guys again so much. So first, we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves for those who maybe don't listen to our other podcasts, and talk a little bit about our history with games like Overwatch. And then we're going to jump in and talk real Overwatch news. We're going to keep it nice and sweet, though. So I'm John. I've been doing podcasting now. Kev, can you believe we started this venture in about February?
It's been a long ride, dude. We are doing a lot of work on these shows, but I have a hard time believing it's been that long when you say it out loud.
Yeah, it's kind of been insane. We've been doing this a while. Kevin and I have been doing a different podcast called Well Met. It's a Hearthstone podcast. And, you know, we've just had such a great time and have a similar passion for similar games. We decided to go in on another venture. As for me, for first-person shooter stuff, I was actually a competitive Halo player for many years. Did a lot of stuff with that. Still play quite a bit. I really enjoy competitive games and shooters and things like that. And so I'm really looking forward for Overwatch, to where I can really jump in, go deep into a game that everyone wants to play. I want to be super competitive at it, and really excited. Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's with you on the show? What are you doing here? And then tell us a little bit about your FPS history.
Well, I'm here because basically at this point, my professional career and selection of hobbies revolve pretty much exclusively around the products created by Blizzard. I started playing the Blizzard library of games back in the early 90s with the first Warcraft, and have kept up with it since. Today, that has turned into my full-time job. I'm a freelance writer. People who know me know that this is something I've been working towards for quite a while. But for those who don't, you can look me up online, check me out on Twitter. You'll find work that I've produced about Blizzard games and esports in general on IGN, GamesBeat, Rock Paper Shotgun, and a whole host of Blizzard fan sites and esport team sites. This is what I do for a living now. As for shooters in specific, this is the first Blizzard shooter, so it's my first chance to take the skills that I used to work at way back in the day when I first became a PC gamer in like the original Doom, Heretic, Hexen, Quake, Unreal Tournament, the first Call of Duty, the original one where it looked like your shoulders were solid blocks. Like, I've been playing this genre for 20 years, and I'm really excited to see exactly what Blizzard can do with it in an all new space on an all new engine in this hyper team focused style of gameplay. So I'm hoping to add yet another Blizzard game to the already immense list of them that I play. And I'm also starting a petition for an eighth day of the week so that I'll have time to play it alongside my existing selection of games.
It's not how it works, Kevin. Has to do
it
with
is
the,
now. It
has
is
to do
now.
With the sun and the tides, okay? And the moon.
Three-day weekends every weekend, please.
Now that's something I can handle. That other mysterious voice is maybe a new one for a lot of you. Not for everybody, though, but if you've been watching, you know, Well Met and listening to Well Met, you probably haven't heard Jimmy before. But Jimmy, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh my gosh, I could go on for a long time about my history in games, but I'll try to keep it brief. But basically, my competitive side of gaming started in the arcades and music games, mostly Dance Dance Revolution. It's heavily involved in that, and then I got really involved in StarCraft, and it kind of just grew from there, writing for sites here and there, and I did podcasts years ago, but then at the beginning of this year, Twiz approached me to who's the one of the other hosts on all these Blizz Pro shows that we have now, and we started up a Heroes of the Storm podcast just because we were really interested in the game, and we've been doing that since like January or December. So that's been really fun, and that's opened up opportunities for me to actually cast in tournaments and stuff like that, and also guest on other podcasts. And then John approached me about an Overwatch podcast, or I don't know if you approached me or I was just like, hey, if you're doing an Overwatch podcast, let me in.
Yeah, so, the true story is we were talking about an Overwatch podcast, and like John and I were making like subtle references about it back and forth on Twitter, and all of a sudden both of our phones are blowing up with these messages from Jimmy. Hey guys, guess what? I'm your new host. That's what actually happened.
Actually, sorry, but the actual true story is I've been watching Jimmy's work for quite a few months. The dude's smart. He gets it. He's available. Charismatic. He's a perfect fit in. Because Kevin has a stick up his butt all the time. We need someone who's willing to laugh a little bit. And so got him.
This guy. I didn't know you were single, Jimmy. Why is he telling people you're available? That's not what this show's about.
Secrets out.
Anyways, so yeah.
I'm
so
not available, by the way, but thank
we're
you.
We're really happy to have Jimmy on the show. It was kind of a no-brainer, I think, you know, since totally. Almost the beginning. So we are super excited to have everybody here. We really hope you enjoy the show. So let's go ahead and break down the show a little bit for you guys so you know what to expect every week. Now, Overwatch is a baby game, so we don't know a whole lot about it. We don't know what it's going to flesh out to be. So this is tentative, but currently with the state of things are, we really want to follow a very simple, easy to follow flow. And it's actually really similar to Well Met, which makes it easy for me because I don't have to memorize all the different stuff. We always want to bring you up to date on the news, right? So you know exactly what's happening in a game where there's a lot of information coming from a lot of different places, and at the same time, no one can play the game. So we really want to bring that. We want to really talk about the esports and competitive scene. We know that Blizzard has a big plan for Overwatch and esports, so we're going to go ahead and make sure that you guys stay up to date with that. We also want to talk a lot about gameplay and design. It's something that is going to really distinguish, we believe, Overwatch from other games out there. And of course, you know, Blizzard is the king of differentiating their games and making them awesome and accessible and competitive. And they're so good at that. It's what they do so well. And we really want to dive in and dissect that. And of course, every week we always bring you special segments and things like that based on what's going on. So I hope you really look forward to seeing all of that. I hope you really enjoy the show. If you do have feedback, please send it to thepayload@blizzpro.com. We'd love to get your emails and stuff like that. And also, if you want your emails right on the show, send it all there. And of course, if you like the show, then you can give us your feedback through iTunes. Otherwise, send it to the email, please. Just kidding. All right. So anyways, thank you guys again so much. Let's go ahead and jump into the news for the first week.
This week in Overwatch.
All right. First and foremost, we've got some new Overwatch gear in the Blizzard store and a bunch of other games as well, but this is an Overwatch podcast. Available for people with the virtual ticket or a BlizzCon ticket. So lots of cool new stuff. Jimmy, anything in there you've got your eye particularly on?
Yeah, I'd say the hooded jacket, but it's been so warm in California, I feel like I'd never actually get to use it, so it'd be wasted money. But definitely, I'll do the hat, because occasionally I'll wear hats, and I like that, the Overwatch magnet set. That's just, the styling on it is really awesome.
Awesome. I totally agree. That hat is amazing. They have a Hearthstone one, too, and I want one of each. Kev, what
this
about...
This isn't well met, though.
This is going to be hard. Kevin, go ahead. Tell us what you're eyeing in the store, man.
Well, my problem is when this stuff comes out, I just buy it and sort out what I want later, as often as not. So I loaded up on the track jacket when it first came out, and I'm rocking that on a pretty regular basis because, unlike Jimmy in sunny California, like, it's freezing, literally freezing up here. So I'm definitely wearing that. Thought about the hooded sweater type deal. Not a big hat guy, but I actually want to check it all out at BlizzCon. I want to see this merchandise in the flesh, touch it, feel it. And if I come home with one of everything, that won't be a shock.
Sure.
What awesome. About you, dude?
I want one of everything pretty much. There's so much really cool gear in the store right now. I'm unfortunately probably not going to be able to get any of it with the BlizzCon trip coming up. I've been horrible with budgeting. So I will get some good stuff though. I'm sure it'll be there for a while, but I'm for sure picking up some stuff at BlizzCon. And yeah, but I'm kind of with Jimmy. I really like that Overwatch hat. Probably get a Hearthstone one too. So cool. All right, well, let's go ahead then. Kev, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about closed beta coming up for Overwatch?
Yeah, so I assume for the kind of people who are going to be following the podcast scene and are already keeping track of Overwatch, this is not news in the newest sense of that word. But so everybody's on the same page, Overwatch is officially entering closed beta on October 27th. That's next Tuesday. What we know right now is that the current beta launch is planned as a small closed beta. Only a handful of people are going to be invited to test. Those invitations are going to be direct to your Battle.net account. There are no keys. You cannot get on any kind of list, so you either get flagged for it or not. If you haven't already, go to your Blizzard account management settings, find the beta opt-in, and make sure that you've checked off the Overwatch box and submitted up-to-date computer specs, because the initial beta test is also Windows only. So for anybody who's a Blizzard gamer or a quote-unquote PC gamer but playing on a Mac, this beta client is not yet available for Mac. We don't know long-term what operating systems are planned for support for Overwatch, but we do know at this point that the initial beta launch is going to be Windows only. Down the road, if you don't get into the closed beta to do testing, there are going to be a series of open beta weekends. So the way that this beta is going to be structured is a small group of people are going to be able to do routine playtesting to help sort of find the bugs in the game, test out levels and design, and then a larger group of people are going to be asked to sort of test the servers. Jump on, play a whole bunch of games and see, does it break anything with authentication or a voice chat or anything else, and bring down any of the systems? Because Blizzard has to see exactly what kind of capacity their servers will have running this brand new game on a brand new engine with all these new features. That, I think, covers just about everything. Although, we should probably talk a little bit more about voice chat, hey?
Oh yeah, eh? Let's go ahead and talk about that voice chat over there. Kev, so, you've got a pretty... You're the one who linked this to me earlier today, so why don't you go ahead and break it down for us?
Yeah, so traditionally, Blizzard has not had a really... I'm going to say strong track record with voice chat in their games. It launched to not really great feedback in World of Warcraft many, many years ago. And I don't know anyone that actually uses the World of Warcraft in-game voice system because there were so many robust and competitive third-party choices. There was a brief effort at some in-game voice stuff in StarCraft. Again, not a lot of wide usage, especially because it wasn't really a team-focused game. But in Overwatch beta, it was announced just today that the actual Battle.net client is going to have integrated voice chat support. Now, that support is only going to be for the Overwatch beta initially. Speculation is that this may actually be a feature that will cross into the other Blizzard franchises down the road, or even be something that you could use just within Battle.net itself while you're playing two different games between you and your friends. We know nothing about exactly what that's going to look like yet. At this point, it's purely a test designed to go in with Overwatch, because I think fundamental to playing a first-person shooter is the ability to communicate with your team quickly. No one's going to stop and type when they're playing a shooter. It's not a good fit for the genre.
Right. I know they definitely did talk about, for those without mics, they're actually working on some in-game hotkeys for, like, you know, different commands, like, hey, I have my ultimate, things like that. They did confirm that on the stream a little bit. But it's not like Heroes, where you can ping the map and do a quick type and still keep doing what you're doing the whole time. So, yeah. Jimmy, any last thoughts kind of on this voice chat stuff?
Just that it's a really good thing for, like Kevin said, FPS is just with how quick paced they are, and especially Overwatch. I'm sure we'll talk about this more later, but just how quick paced the game feels. I mean, it seems just insanely fast. I mean, it seems faster than it was when I played it at BlizzCon with all the new videos that have come out, and obviously the live stream last week as well.
I think it's important to point out too that Overwatch is, at this point, never going to have any kind of deathmatch or team deathmatch style gameplay. It's always going to be team objective driven games. So it's not like you could just load into a game and roam around trying to get your best personal kill death ratio, because that's not fundamentally what the game is about. And not being able to communicate would be a huge liability in that respect. So I actually think it's really smart that they're launching these side by side, not trying to get people playing the game and then rolling out the voice chat client later. Because I think this is really, it's super integral to the whole notion of how Overwatch is going to play.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, though, so we've got a beta date now. Well, closed beta date. We know about these beta weekends. We know about the voice chat. We've got BlizzCon coming up in, what, 2 weeks?
Like two and a half weeks?
Oh, I can't believe it. I am so excited, by the way. That is so freaking soon for my first BlizzCon. I am so pumped. But with all this stuff that we know now, and it's happened so close before BlizzCon, what are you guys thinking we're going to see when it comes to BlizzCon? And I'm going to hand this one over to Jimmy.
I think the safe bets are the announcement of how the pay model is going to be for this game. I think everyone's kind of expecting it to be free to play, but they could, they're a big company. They can kind of just do whatever they want. But I think another fairly easy bet is a console version getting announced as well, because Microsoft is kind of made a big deal about them actually attending this convention. So, and that's the only real logical place that a console would fit in Blizzard's universe right now, it feels like. And other easy bets are more heroes and maps announced, potentially another mode or something like that. But I can't think of anything that they're hiding in their hat to pull out for BlizzCon for Overwatch, because there's only two panels there. So I don't think anything too crazy is going to get announced.
That's fair. Kev, anything else you think to add to that?
I mean, I think the map stuff is a sure bet. Characters, it could be tough because they've announced so many recently, although we don't really know what the target point is as far as number of characters and variety. So maybe that would be really cool. Console support is a tough one, because I feel like they're so keyed in on getting this optimized for the PC environment and how it's going to play on PC. But there is no other reason for Microsoft to be present at the convention or rebroadcasting it on Xbox Live. Like, there has to be a connection there. And I've heard people say, you know, oh, it would be awful on console. No, it would be great. It would be a phenomenal console shooter. But that also circles back to Jimmy's first point, which is the pay model. If they're going to put it on console, that sort of runs contrary to the free-to-play notion, because I feel like you're going to have a hard time selling console players on a $60 title when you can go download it on your computer for free. But I don't know. Maybe that's exactly what they're going to do.
Do you think they go ahead and kind of go the Diablo route, where they kind of, you know, pretty much stay separate outside of porting that initial character stuff?
I think it has to. I mean, cross support would be awful. It would be so biased in favor of PC players. Plus, the server architecture to pull that off is still very complicated. It's been done, but it's really not pretty. So, I think those are all safe bets. I'm going to go out on a crazy limb, and this is my, like, out of left field guess. I think they announce a launch date. I think they commit to a street date.
Wow.
There's so little else to talk about. You can hype new characters until you're blue in the face, but they announced this game last year at BlizzCon. They've been working on this engine since 2012. It took them a year to get from last year's BlizzCon to a playable beta client for us, when in reality, there was a playable client ready at last year's BlizzCon. I played it at BlizzCon. I played it at PAX. The game ran like butter. This is the newest, most advanced engine Blizzard has ever built or worked with, and everything runs like glass. They were taking notes of, like, inconsistencies where characters were getting stuck on doodads in maps, not like, oh god, our game crashes if there's too many tracers. Like, this game is ready for players, and this beta test is, by its nature of design, I think a balance test looking at high-level play. How do we make this enjoyable, fair, equitable? Maybe they announce a new, like, play mode or something to try and keep that, like, hype train rolling, but realistically, if they're committing to a closed beta and stress test weekends already, I think they have a launch date ready for mid-2016.
That's potentially right. I mean, if you want to look at the map, look at how giant the Overwatch section is compared to even the World of Warcraft section. They are going all in on Overwatch right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how they go with this.
Well, and let's think about their product schedule, because that's the easiest way to pin this down, right? You know you're getting some kind of Hearthstone expansion at BlizzCon. Heroes will get some content, but its content release cycle is very fluid. It doesn't get the big spike of a major expansion the way that a traditional game would. Legacy of the Void launches 2 days after BlizzCon is over, and that's the end of the StarCraft saga. There is no Diablo panel. There is no Diablo expansion expected. And we're probably looking at Legion coming out sometime for World of Warcraft in early 2016, based on the fact that it's likely going to enter a beta at BlizzCon. So if they launched Legion in early 2016 and they have no other products slated, there's a big open window from about April of 2016 until, like, the holidays, where there's nothing on their docket. I sincerely doubt, like, the best case scenario would be they announce the next Diablo expansion at Gamescom next summer. In the middle there, for sure, that's got to be the Overwatch launch.
So I totally agree with you on the time that we're looking at getting Overwatch, you know, out on the shelves, probably not even on shelves, but you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Available to, you know, start actually playing completely open and, you know, ready to go. I don't know if there's going to be any weight of them adding that at BlizzCon. In fact, all it probably does is just, you know, ties one hand behind their back to make sure that now they've got a deadline. And I know that Blizzard, especially with new IPs, like, when it comes to deadlines and things like that, I don't know how ready they are to broadcast that out to their audience. I think you're right. I think the timing that you're saying is the timing that they're shooting for. I just don't know if they have any sort of competitive advantage to be announcing that. I think we're going to see new maps. I think we're going to see new heroes. Maybe a new game type, something like that. Maybe a couple of, like, you know, obviously some under the hood, new features, things like that. But I don't foresee them really going any deeper into, we'll get the pricing model, but I don't think they're going to go, and you're going to get it anything more than mid 2016, you know, middle of 2016 or something like that. I think it would be as far as they go. They definitely wouldn't go like June 2016 or June 14th or whatever. I don't see them doing that. I really believe so. I really believe it.
I mean, when you advertised beta last year, I think it would be really confusing, honestly, to get up on stage, your brand new product, your first franchise in almost 20 years, and not have anything to say other than, and we're adding some new characters and maps. Like, those are the kind of announcements they just post on the Overwatch blog on a typical weekday, or like, it's, that's not the kind of news that they save for a BlizzCon. I will be shocked if they don't commit to a launch date, because the fact that they're launching beta before BlizzCon tells me that this game is in the stage of development where they're ready for it to be in people's hands, right? Most of their betas for most of their games traditionally have run 6 months. Long betas have been 8. That still puts this game out next summer. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't say this game is slated to launch August, whatever. Like, they can pick a date. At this point, it's the biggest, most obvious gap in their product release schedule that I've ever seen.
I'm just saying, man, it doesn't seem like a smart move for a company to a brand new IP, mind you. Again, now Hearthstone was in beta for so freaking long. It wasn't 6 to 8 months.
It was in alpha.
It was, well, we had beta for how long was beta? It had to be at least a year.
It was four test seasons that lasted, what, like 6-8 weeks apiece?
Did they do an open, or not an open alpha, but I know I got in like...
There was a closed alpha and then a closed beta.
Closed beta, but it was, I mean, it was a long time, man.
Well, it was in test for a long time, I agree. So was Heroes, but they both had lengthy alpha periods. Like, beta means a very different thing in software development, and it means a very different thing specifically to Blizzard. Like,
I don't know, man.
They could probably
disagree.
Launch this game tomorrow.
I mean, Blizzard, yeah, come on, man. Now we're just spouting stuff here.
I want to interject really quickly, though. I mean, I'm kind of agreeing with Kevin a little bit now that I think about it. They might announce a window of when it might be coming out, but they're not going to announce a like actual month or date, I don't think. Because when they're comfortable enough to do that, it's usually only like 2 or 3 months in advance. And I don't see Overwatch launching in 2 to 3 months.
Yep. I mean, again, to my original point, I don't think we're going to get anything more than mid-2016 or summer 2016. There's no way we get a date. I'll eat my brand new Overwatch hat.
$25 down the drain.
If we get a real...
We have this on record.
Date,
viewers,
I
take
can
note.
Edit it out.
John is going to eat one hat.
I can also probably edit you to say, you know, basically whatever I want you to say. So
pretty
careful
much.
There, sir. anyways, I really enjoy the conversation, but I think we need to talk a little bit about some gameplay and design stuff here, because this is kind of the bread and butter of what we really want to talk about with you guys today. We're really excited. We've got a bunch of people in the chat room. We're all hanging out, and as you can tell, we're just, you know, gnashing at the bit here, just excited to talk about and argue about and debate and all this kind of stuff about Overwatch. So we need to talk about what is making Overwatch so special that we're ready to play about it. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about how Overwatch is positioning itself and differentiating itself in a kind of video game environment, I guess I would say. That is, you know, there's lots of games coming out all the time. Esports are, you know, growing, being huge. Obviously, League of Legends, CSGO, Dota, Heroes of the Storm, really, really, really huge stuff. And then in comes this game called Overwatch. It's got a Pixar-looking trailer with all sorts of different characters doing different things. So, Jimmy, I'm passing this one on to you. What makes Overwatch different than the other FPS and team-based strategy games that we've got so far?
I think the biggest thing, and people might kind of just overlook this because it's such a typical Blizzard thing, is that it's a mix of FPS and MOBA in the sense that the characters have so much depth to them and they're all super unique. I mean, if you look at something like Call of Duty or even Halo to an extent, you're just this nameless face of a character. But with Overwatch, you have these very defined characters that have their own backstory and all this crazy stuff. And I think that really is going to be setting it apart from everything else. And also, I know the big thing is going to be being able to switch your hero in the middle of matches. That's going to create just a whole another layer of strategy for the game.
Awesome. What do you think, Kev?
I mean, I'm basically right there with Jimmy. I think the most important thing right now is, and this is my opinion, I don't think there is a good sort of team gameplay driven competitive shooter on the market right now. I think you have CSGO, which plays totally differently, and it focuses on a very specific set of interactions. Who's your sniper? Who's going to handle bomb defusing? And plays a very specific way, right? It's played in rounds that are very brief. It has a very unique flavor to it that's really about the individual players making their individual plays, right? You never really do anything super clever in tandem in CSGO other than, like, boost a guy on your shoulders to get up to a vantage point, right? All of a sudden, we're going to have, for the first time in a very long time, a shooter game that really isn't a shooter game. It's a shooter game that does play more like a brawler. It plays more like... ever since the first time I played it at BlizzCon, I gave this feedback to the devs at PAX, I said it reminds me of playing the old Jedi Knight games, because every character has a little bit of something different to bring. One guy's running around with a blaster rifle, the next guy's swinging a sword, the next guy's got a shield, there's all these different things at play, and it's how you combine them and how they interact that defines the competitive play. That's what really differentiates the game in my mind. Like, quick respawns, I think, are a core feature of that. Changing characters are a core feature of that, but how you're going to play with all of those moving parts simultaneously in a strictly objective-driven game, that to me is what this is all about. Your kill-death ratio isn't going to matter, I don't think, in this game. It's going to be entirely about how well do you do your job? How well do you fill your role? You're going to be thinking about how many tanks do we need? How many people do we want playing support characters? It's going to play a lot like a first-person MOBA shooter strategy game. It's a little teeny bit of everything, and I think that's going to make for a totally unique experience compared to what any of us are used to from, I mean, you were a big Halo guy, I played a bunch of Call of Duty, and back in the day, like Doom and Quake and Unreal. This is not the same thing, but I mean, tell me I'm wrong. What did I miss?
Oh, I mean, I'm honestly right there, but I really want to bring a couple of key things that are really poised to make Overwatch really different. Now, the first thing is the respawn timer. The respawn timer is actually quite long when you look at other competitive-based shooters. You die, you look at your body there, and there's about like a 5 to 7 second replay about how you die before you can even, you know, go back into the hero select screen and run back. Plus, on top of that, unless you're choosing a fast support hero like Lucio or Tracer, you are really slow kind of getting back to the action. Second thing you talk about is kill death, or the KD ratio. As far as I know and what I've seen so far, the only time I've seen a KD ratio, and I think it was in earlier builds, is at the end of the game when you're kind of voting for the player of the game. It's not something that anyone knows during the game. It's not anything that anything like that. You do, however, have a like a status bar where, you know, the more on fire you are, you can see that and your other teams can see it. It starts out kind of cold and blue. And then after, you know, I think it's like 10 kills in a row or something like that, your guy is flaming on fire, the little portrait in kind of the scoreboard view, however they determine a scoreboard view, but mainly to see what the other heroes are. And then the big thing is hero swapping. That is the most insane thing. It used
awesome
to just be,
thing.
You know, shooters are all about twitch mechanics, right? It's very easy to understand where to go in a map and how to, you know, take a certain part. What is not very apparent is when things start to change, having the heightened mind to be able to go in and go ahead and go, okay, we need to change our comp. I really enjoyed listening to, you know, all the developers and Elohim kind of go in and talk about, oh crap, they're taking us over with this. We need to switch. We need 3 tanks instead of 2 or whatever. And like starting to draw that strategy in is huge. And those 3 things are really going to differentiate Overwatch from, you know, the rest of the market out there. On top of the fact, although I will say, I do think eventually they will put some sort of Slayer game type in there. from more of a team perspective, but I think that's long down the road, and I don't know if it'll ever be one of the competitive things that you play. I think they might just go, hey, just go shoot people for a little bit and have fun doing it, and I think that'll happen, but I don't think we'll really necessarily see it in gameplay. Cool? All right. I'm going to take that for good. Well, let's talk about let's talk about this next one here. So we know the approach is different. Outside of the fact that they need to differentiate themselves, why are you guys thinking that they're taking this really different approach to a first-person shooter in 2015 when they know CSGO with their formula is doing awesome? Halo's coming back to MLG. Like, people are really excited to see that. And you have Blizzard, not really any kind of... don't really have any track record in FPS, at least in recent times. Now they're coming in and they're saying, we're going esports with this and we're doing it completely differently and breaking the mold of every other successful FPS that we've seen in recent history. Kevin, what do you think?
To me, it's super obvious. Blizzard has a history in every style of game they've ever played, in every franchise they've ever developed, of trying to make the game something that has a range of skill levels and something that makes you want to bring your friends with you, right? Those are the two things that have made Blizzard games viable since their very first entry into the market back in the 90s. Today, now, their take on Heroes of the Storm was, here's a game where everything's about your team. Everything's about working as a team. Everything's about objectives. And there's none of this individual go off and do your own thing style gameplay that's, in my mind, been at the core of so many shooters for so long. I played years of Call of Duty or like other shooters online, console, PC, take your pick, where I load up with my preferred character or my preferred gun and I go do my thing, and that's my contribution, win or lose. That was the end of it. This is a game that is 100%, does your team coordinate? Can you cooperate? How do you work together? I'm going to take this game and go to every person I know that owns a computer and say, hey, you should download Overwatch and come play with me. Then I'm going to go to my friends who don't have computers and say, hey, let's build you a computer so you can come play Overwatch with me, right? Like, you're going to want to get people involved in this experience. And the game isn't going to be punishing to people who aren't Twitch mechanic players. There's characters where you can sit and build turrets or get behind your team or stand in front of your team and put up a shield. Like, your contribution doesn't have to be, I can 360 no-scope kids all day long, right? Like, there's all of a sudden new, different, and in my mind, better ways for people of different skill levels to enjoy the game and make contributions to their team. And that, for Blizzard, is a huge win because the game is going to have this immensely social, positive experience, win or lose, because it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I love that perspective. Jimmy, what do you think, man?
I was thinking the same thing as Kevin, but I thought you were going to go a bit of a different route on explain it, but this has traditionally been what Blizzard does. I mean, they're never first to market with a certain type of game, but they always see the market and see where it can be improved and come out with the best product that they can do for that genre. Like, StarCraft came out when Total Annihilation was a big thing. World of Warcraft came out when EverQuest and Ultima Online were a big thing. And Heroes of the Storm came out when League of Legends and Dota 2 are these giant properties. And so they're all in kind of response to the market and what they think they can do better. And Overwatch is, I think, just another obvious move in that direction. And I'm really excited for it.
Hmm. Okay, guys, then we need to talk about something here. Do you guys truly believe that Overwatch is going to be successful as an esport? And to what extent? Where are you seeing it on that, you know, on Twitch or, you know, the prize pools and stuff like that? Obviously, we don't know. We really, I mean, we're just speculating here because it's episode number one and we don't have a beta yet. So but let's go ahead. Jimmy, I want you to take this one first. Go ahead and tell us what you're thinking.
I'm a little bit nervous because I think Heroes is struggling right now as far as an esport, and they're kind of getting into another crowded market with CSGO and Halo kind of coming back, and Call of Duty even getting a whole nother push and incentive for the next year, it looks like. And I'm a little worried, but Blizzard, they don't just give up if something's not successful. They keep going at it and try to build from the ground up. And I think that's what they're doing with both with Hearthstone Heroes. They've kind of just brought in a lot of the streamers, the Twitch streamers, and that's kind of been their focus for building the community from the ground up. And obviously that's what they did with Overwatch, and I think that's been really successful. I mean, there was, what, 50 or 60,000 at least watching the various streams last week. So esports-wise, I don't know. It's really hard to tell right now.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Ask me why Jimmy's wrong.
Oh, man, are you really going to... He's brand new to the show.
Here we go.
I've developed a tough skin with you, Kevin, where I just you're just trying to puff the chest.
Ask me why
out.
Jimmy's wrong. Come
why
on.
Is Jimmy wrong, Kevin?
Jimmy is wrong because Blizzard didn't do a really phenomenal job of entering the MOBA market with a new product. MOBAs were an incredibly saturated game space that, frankly, Blizzard had long since missed the boat on. They had their opportunity to own that segment back when Defense of the Ancients, as it was called, was built on the Warcraft 3 engine. That erupted into something that now has 10, 15 years of legacy behind it. And frankly, people who are interested in that genre have long since made their commitments, both with time and financially. Heroes of the Storm has a loyal fan base of people who enjoy the game and the way it's played. They enjoy the company and the product. But fundamentally, I don't think it was ever designed to challenge the throne in that genre. There's no throne to challenge in the Overwatch genre, because we just finished explaining this is not a first-person shooter, fundamentally. You're not trying to compete with Call of Duty or CSGO because it's nothing like those games. I honestly, if I had to make a comparison, this is a closer analogy to like the PvP in an MMO or something, where you have multiple different roles and people building teams and trying to figure out, can we make double support work? How do we combine these abilities to get the most possible wombo combo damage on a single target? They succeed at this type of thing. And we've seen this with Hearthstone, right? Because Hearthstone, a lot of people said, why are they just making Magic the Gathering but for the computer? It's nothing like Magic the Gathering. I mean, it has some fundamental inherent things that are similar because it's a card game, but they built their own genre of playable card game online. And that's what Overwatch is going to be. It's going to be its own ecosystem that's not really comparable to anything that anybody's playing today. A CSGO player is not going to transition the same way to Overwatch that a League player could transition to Heroes. This is a new space and a new way of playing this game that it's going to take time to learn, but it's going to be fresh. And I think that's a huge distinction, which in esports opens the space for there to be a whole bunch of teams that jump in and aren't just twitchy gamers with great reaction times. They're people that can build those strategies and take advantage of the mechanics you described earlier, right? It's who switches to what character when to really build that winning composition. That's going to be something we've never seen before in this space.
Yeah, I mostly agree. Though there are some, you know, PvP shooters and stuff where you can shoot or choose roles and loadouts and things like that. I do think that this is more of an evolution rather than an adaptation of that. Like, I do think that there is some precedence in esports and shooters in that comp, but not to this level. I mean, when you watch this live stream, right, you've got, you know, these healers, you've got defense, you've got, you know, kind of offense, you've got tanks, you've got these very specific types of heroes who do very specific things and do them very well. And I love, I think it was Jeff Kaplan who said it. He goes, when you start playing the game, you start to gravitate to certain players. In Halo, I was always I was a running gun. Like, John, we need you out front, and we need you shooting as much as possible. We'll support you, kind of thing. I'm actually looking forward to sit back a little bit. Overwatch, that's kind of what I want to do. The support roles, to me, look more fun than the shooter ones, except for the Reaper. I really want to play the Reaper so bad. Now, keep in mind, I haven't gotten to really play it yet. I've just watched probably 100 hours of footage over the course of like, you know, what, 8-9 months. So it's been pretty insane. So yeah, I think we've got a really good handle on, you know, what Blizzard really needs to do to differentiate themselves with Overwatch to make it successful. I think we all believe that it's going to be successful as a video game, just like I would say Heroes of the Storm is, right? I hate MOBAs. They're hard. They're not fun, but I love Heroes of the Storm. It's really fun. It's easy to pick up. I don't feel like an absolute jerk when I don't know what I'm doing and things like that. So I get it. I think I get it, but I don't think they're catering this game. And to Kev and Jimmy, both your points, this is something totally different and something totally new that right now, I had a blast watching the live stream. I didn't want to stop watching. I was super involved all the time. That's without a spectator client. That's without people casting the games. That's without all that stuff. You're just hearing a bunch of people talk over themselves and stuff and ask questions to developers. Like, this is a really exciting time here, and we really get to be a part of the history of this game and something that could be, and I think we all believe it's going to be here for a while. We're starting a podcast for it, so it's not going to be, we don't think it's going to be done in a couple months, that's for sure. Any last thoughts on differentiation here, guys? You feel pretty good about it? Awesome. I love that. They nod their head at me on an audio podcast. That's beautiful.
Yes.
I agree.
Great. So we're going to leave a little bit of fluff talk here. We're going to leave with a little bit of fluff talk before we go ahead and head out for our first episode. So, Kevin, you first. What hero are you most excited to play and why?
Honestly, having
You cannot skirt this question, by the way.
I'm not skirting. Okay. Having played the game.
One hero.
Having played the game a little bit at BlizzCon last year, at PAX this year, I really had the most fun playing as Widowmaker. I found she just had this really cool balance of the right amount of mobility so that I never felt like I was really trapped. I could move around. I could scale walls with her little like grappling hook thing. I could get into cool positions and make contributions by knocking out the enemy supports, the enemy backline, sneaking around. And as soon as you have a sense of the maps and the way that they're designing the flow of these levels, you can actually position yourself to do a lot of damage with her. So that was, for me, what was the most fun, because I really fundamentally in this game think that zoning and control of spaces is going to be one of the most important things you can do as a team. And that's how I see myself doing it, is being in the place to knock out those sort of key backline characters.
Jimmy, what about you, man?
I'd have to say Lucio. Like, when he was first announced, I was like, this is such a unique character and just a really cool support. I generally have been moving towards supports in all the games I play, and like heroes and stuff like that. But Lucio, just his abilities are really cool because they do two different things. So you can boost the movement speed or regen health, and just being able to control both those things is really cool to me. And I like his style. I like I'm a big EDM fan, so I listen to a lot of techno and stuff like that. So it's right up my alley.
Awesome. As for me, guys, I gotta say I'm super excited about playing Soldier 76. He cleaned house in the live stream, has super really cool gameplay mechanics, and I love those characters that just have the ability to just go on a tear. The type of thing where they walk in, they go, hey, there's a Soldier 76. You saw that every time. Soldier 76, Soldier 76. And they start like immediately going for that person. I love those types of characters where they just put fear in the foes of your enemies. So I'm all about that. All right. Second question. Obviously, there's lots of different roles. We talked about, healing. We talked about defense, I think, is just how they've put it so far, right? There's attack or offense, is that how they put it? And then tank. With those different types, obviously, no matter what, you're going to end up playing all sorts of different combinations of characters. But what type of role really resonates with, you know, the type of player that you think you're going to be in Overwatch? Jimmy.
I really, just off what I said, I'm interested in playing is hero-wise. I see myself playing support a lot. I mean, I played Mercy a whole bunch at BlizzCon last year, and I absolutely love playing as her. It's just a really cool role and something very unique in this genre for sure. You don't really get a whole lot of support roles that are directly healing your teammates in a SPS like this.
Totally. I love that. What about you, Kev?
See, and I don't have a particular role in mind. I'm thinking about it from a game mechanic perspective, right? I want to play characters that have the ability to do a lot of work as far as how they're going to allow my team to influence objectives. So for me, I want to play characters that can zone and that are flexible, I guess. Is like if there was a flex role, that's what I see myself playing. Widowmaker was my favorite, but I lean towards, like, I want to be the Zarya or the Torbjorn or some of those characters where I can go on offense, I can do a lot to sort of, you know, manipulate positioning and control space, but also be throwing out, you know, armor or health or shields to a teammate. Like, I want that kind of contribution where I can swing one way or the other depending on the needs of my teammates and controlling that space that I want to own, you know, overwatching the objective.
Cool. Awesome. As for me, I'm all offense, baby. Just give me that offense. Let me shoot someone in the face. I'm all about it. All right. So let's go ahead with the last little bit here. Minor details in the game. They did a really good job at the live stream to talk about all the different little details and things. We know that the environment is very interactive and there's all sorts of really neat details. What was your favorites looking at it? And we're going to keep this one quick. Kev, any favorite details that you saw?
There's so many little things. I want to know more about the story. So, like, seeing all the, like, maps in the laboratories and the little things that are supposed to have personality. Like, this is a game that's supposed to be set in the real world in the future. So, the level design that we've seen, I'm super excited for all of the things that they do to make it feel real. Like, I'm jumping around in South Africa or Mumbai or wherever these cities are supposed to sort of represent in the future. That to me, like, I would love to see them riff on the kinds of level design that occurred in other games, but in this modern Overwatch world. I want to see like a crazy favela type level from Call of Duty reimagined for the Overwatch world, and the stylistic elements that they're doing to pull that off make me super happy. That's what I'm really just, I'm jazzed on top down how these levels make the world feel real but super futuristic.
Awesome. What about you, Jimmy?
Just all the small things on the map, like you were saying, just all the little doodads and stuff, and even though they don't affect the match, just being able to blow up like baskets and whatever is on the map is kind of just, it's those small little things that are fun and make you feel like you're really like sucked into this world. And yeah, just the like Kevin was saying, the story is something that I think is really cool. I think it's really cool how they've, as far as we can see, they've completely separated the story out of the game so that people who don't care about that or are not interested in that don't have to deal with that or see it or read it or whatever. And so it'll be interesting to see how they expand that more. I have a feeling that might actually be something they talk about at BlizzCon as well.
Awesome. Cool. So we've got one last little thing before we go ahead and close out the show. Little bit of community news and highlights. Jimmy, you want to go ahead and take that away?
Yeah, for sure. And this is just one of the many things that the community has already come out with for a game that's not even playable for anyone outside of Blizzard, really, which I think is amazing. But Trolden, you might know him for all those amazing Hearthstone videos. I love those. I watch them all the time. But he actually made a highlight video for Overwatch with the recent visit that Blizzard had for all the streamers there. And it is amazing. Like, it's just over a 2-hour period, all these really great highlights. I mean, we didn't even talk about it, but the play of the game portion of the game at the end of each match, where it highlights a really awesome play that someone had. I mean, this obviously just sets up the video to be easily editable if you have all these really great in-game functions that just show off the play of the game. But yeah, it's just a short 4-minute video, and it really shows off a lot of the really crazy plays you can see in this game. And at like 1:45 in the video, there's this really great play by Elohime. Just pins a bunch of people as Reinhardt. He pins like 3 or 4 people onto a wall. It's wonderful.
Awesome. So yeah, definitely go check it out. It'll be in the show notes for you guys to check out. And yeah. Well, guys, I think we got to get out of here. So let's go ahead and start out with some show notes, or not show notes, shout outs. You can tell I've been doing this the whole day. Go ahead, Kev. What shout outs do you have this week as we close up the show?
I mean, I'm just super excited for beta next week. So I guess for anybody who's, you know, looking to see what this game looks like, I'm going to try and use the launch of Overwatch as an excuse to get back into doing some serious streaming. You can come join me on twitch.tv/OdenTV, Odin with two N's. I'm going to be streaming as much Overwatch as I can. Other than that, please, you know, get us some emails. Throw us some reviews on iTunes. Tell us what you think of this show. Get in touch with us on Twitter. We're super active. We'd love to talk to you about everything. That's really, I just want to connect with the new Overwatch fan audience that's super excited about this game the way that I am.
Awesome. What about you, Jimmy? Shout outs for the week.
Shout out to Jake for this awesome, awesome music. Oh right? My gosh, it's so incredible. And just shout out mostly to my girlfriend for letting me have another night that I'm doing another podcast. Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank you, awesome. Mrs. Jimmy. We appreciate you.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, that's about to wrap it up for episode 1 of The Payload. I think it's been awesome. Thank you so much for everyone to hang out and chat. We had just about like 30 to 40 people hanging out the whole night, which is totally awesome. Unexpected for our awesome. First week. So thank you guys so much. I hope you enjoyed it. So shout out to our Twitch room. We're over at twitch.tv/blizzpro every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you can come hang out with us. I think it was really fun. We just had a really good time chatting. Lots of really good discussions going on in the chat. Big shout out to Jake Butno over at jakebutno.ca. You need to check out his stuff. If you like our stuff, he's got even more incredible stuff that you can listen to over on his website, on his SoundCloud, things like that. Make sure to add him on Twitter, too, and shout him out for doing such an awesome job with it. We're so happy with it. Big thanks to Katie. Katie did awesome job on our voiceovers, I really think, as we kind of go in to get some new voice talent and stuff in here. So thanks again so much, Katie, for all your hard work. Everything sounds completely amazing. And yeah, I couldn't be happier. Also, big shout out to Dread Scythe over at scythedesigns.com. He did all of our layout work and stuff, our temporary logo that we've got up there, all this different stuff. Looks incredible. I mean, people who are hopping in to the chat room are like, holy crap, that looks amazing. That's all this guy, and he's awesome to work with. So huge thank you to those. We're on iTunes already, so if you enjoy the show, please don't hesitate to leave us a review. We love to hear what you have to say about the show. We want to just kind of know what you're, if you're digging it, if you're not. If you have any more thoughts or want your email read on the show or have specific requests for segments you want to hear, send us an email over at thepayload@blizzpro.com. And as well, give us a follow on our Twitter. It's insane. We haven't even had a first show yet, and we already have over 50 people with us over on Twitter. So you guys are awesome. But if you guys want to stay up to date with the show and what the hosts are doing, you can go ahead and follow us at Payload Podcast. We're on iTunes. I'm finalizing some Stitcher stuff, and then we should be ready to go. But again, thank you guys so much for being there. We really hope that you enjoyed episode 1 of The Payload. We're going to go ahead and get out of here, and we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.